Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Would you please find in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 10, we'll start in verse 9 in a moment. It may also help you to have this piece of paper entitled Traveling Together to the Destination of Inclusion. The Destination of Inclusion. I heard a really funny story about these two fellows who walked into a restaurant at noontime, and they didn't know each other, but the place was full, so they ended up being seated together. One man was Chinese, and the other man was Jewish. They were sitting there eating their meal in silence when suddenly the Jewish man reaches across the table and just slaps this Chinese fella. The Chinese man was very shocked. He said, "What is that for?" And the Jewish man said, "That is for Pearl Harbor." The Chinese guy said, "That was the Japanese." He said, "Chinese, Japanese, Taiwanese, they're all the same to me." They continue their meal. A few moments pass, and all of a sudden, the Chinese fellow reaches across the table and pop, he slaps the Jewish fella. The Jewish fellow said, "Well, what is that for?" He said, "That is for the Titanic." He said, "The Titanic? What do you mean?" He said, "You know, Goldberg, Feinberg, Iceberg, they're all the same to me." Now, friends, when you examine our natural human tendency to be prejudiced or prejudging of other people, those tendencies look ridiculous in the light of the Scripture. They dishonor the Creator God who made every person. And furthermore, they lead you to hurtful places that you do not want to visit. That's why it's important today that we travel over to the book of Acts and travel into chapter 10, because there we will find the origin of the gospel being released to the Gentile world. Did you know if you traveled from New Orleans, Louisiana, up the Mississippi River, 2,348 miles, you would come to Minnesota's Lake Itasca, and that would be the headwaters of the Mississippi. Now today, we're going to take a different kind of trip. We want to travel up into the stream of the book of Acts and Acts chapter 10 and see the origin of the church as we know it today. The Lord released the church from simply being Jewish, and He released the gospel after this barrier of prejudice was destroyed into the mainstream of the human family. And we want to trace how that happened today. As we look at Acts chapter 10, we see God pulverizing the human barrier of prejudice so that it can flow out to non-Jewish people like you, like me. We will come now to a question, and I want you to answer this question honestly, just between you and the Lord. Do you tend to include or exclude? Take just a moment. Think it through. Look into the mirror of God's Word. Examine yourself. Do you tend to be an includer, a person who is open-hearted, open-handed? You seek to connect other people. You make bridges within your relationships. Or do you have a proclivity, a tendency to be an excluder, one who builds walls, a person who tends to grade and measure other people by their skin color, their educational attainments, their social status? If persons are different, then you build a barrier instead of a bridge. Now, I want you to think about this very important question. Are you an includer or an excluder? Because here is the goal. The goal is always Jesus, my friend. And when we track the life of Jesus, we see Him being the ultimate includer. There He is in John chapter 4, including this multi-married, promiscuous Samaritan woman into the kingdom of God, and she becomes the first evangelist. We see Jesus including a man like Nicodemus, who was an up-and-outer. He wore a designer robe, but he was just as lost as a bum in the basement. My friends, Jesus included children and politicians. He included everybody, and that should be our goal, to be a Christ-like includer. Well, with that in focus, let's come now to Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 9, and let's see how God pulverizes prejudice so that the gospel can be released into the stream of the human family. And on the next day, as they were on their way, they were approaching the city, and Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. He became hungry, and he was desiring to eat, but while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. He beheld the sky open up, and a certain object, like a great sheet, came down, being lowered by the four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and the birds of the air. And a voice came to him saying, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is unholy and unclean." Again, a voice came to him a second time saying, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." This happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. Now, while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might mean, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate. And calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who is also called Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Arise, go downstairs, and go with them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself." So Peter went down to the men, and he said, "Behold, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for which you have come?" They said, "Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you, to come to his house and to bring a message." So Peter invited them in, gave them lodging, and on the next day he arose and went away with them, and some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Let's pray. Dear Father, would you transform your mirror into your word into a mirror so that we could see ourselves as you see us. Lord, we don't want to use the mirror of this culture or even the mirror of our self-deception. Lord, we want to see ourselves as you see us. And I pray, oh Father, I pray that you would get me out of the way so that your Spirit could take your word and apply it to the receptive hearts of your children. And I pray for that in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Well, let's make this first note. Peter's obstruction. Would you write that down? Peter has an obstruction in his spirit. Deep in his spirit, Peter had been injected since he was a little child with instructions about other people who were not like him, other people who were not Jewish. And in his spirit, there was the poison of deep prejudice against other people. Evidently, Peter, after Pentecost and after the development of the church and the stoning of Stephen, he had gone away from Jerusalem and he was preaching to fellow Jews, and he came to Simon the Tanner's house. And evidently, he is preparing for a little bit of lunch when he decides to go upstairs. And remember, Simon is a tanner. Let me explain what that means. Peter was going upstairs to get some fresh air because Simon tanned the hides of animals. Now, I've actually done a little bit of that, and it's a very stinky process. I mean, Simon the tanner's house must have smelled horrible. So Peter is practical, and he decides to go up on top of the roof and get a little fresh air because the stench is probably overwhelming. It reminds me of the fellow who went on the garlic diet. He didn't really lose any weight. He just looked smaller from a distance. And that would be the situation here. I mean, there's a stench in this place. Simon says, excuse me, I'm going to go get some fresh air. He goes up about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and this ocean breeze is hitting him. He is feeling good. Maybe he is in prayer. Have you ever gotten a little sleepy in prayer? Well, here is Simon. He almost goes into a trance, the Bible says. And in the middle of this moment, God brings a vision to Peter, because he is about to pulverize his prejudices that would prevent him from sharing with the Gentile. The sheet comes down, and this sheet is filled with all kinds of animals, and a lot of these animals are not kosher, and Jewish people are not supposed to eat unkosher meat. For instance, pork or catfish or shrimp. Simon had never had a pork chop. He had never enjoyed fried catfish or hush puppies. And so the voice from heaven says, arise and eat. And Peter protests. He said, well, no, I've never eaten anything unclean. I'm a good Jewish boy, Lord. And what does God say? He tells him, anything that I make is not unclean. Now, friends, please make this note. God's point is not about pigs. It's about people. You see, this is not about eating pork or shrimp or catfish. It's all about people. God makes no person who is unclean. The Lord knew that there was a barrier for the sharing of the gospel, and the barrier was Peter's prejudice against the Gentile world. Jesus had already demonstrated in John chapter 4 that the gospel is for everyone. When Jesus and the disciples were cutting through Samaria, they were violating a Jewish prohibition. You were not even supposed to set foot on that tainted land, much less talk to a woman, much less a woman who had had 5 husbands and was living with a man. And yet Jesus, in connecting to this woman at the well at noon, he was breaking all of the conventions, but he was really shattering the prejudices that keep us from connecting to other people. You see, Jesus connected to everybody. And that is his call to each of us. He wants us to be a connector. The Jews got it wrong. You see, they had read about the laws of purity, and they misconstrued them and morphed them into an isolationist position, an elitism. Let me prove that. In Genesis chapter 12, God says to Abraham, he says, Abraham, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing to the nations. And instead of taking that board of blessing that God gave them and building a bridge, they built a barrier. That wasn't the design of God. So Jesus came to be that blessing to the nations. Well, back to Peter. Here's Peter. Now, I'm going to call it like I see it. I believe if Peter lived today, he would be the consummate redneck. He would probably have a 4-wheel drive pickup with big old tires and a gun rack in the back and a Confederate flag somewhere flying over that truck. I mean, Peter would have been a good old redneck, and I can relate to that. I got a lot of it in me. And so here is Peter, just as prejudiced as he can be, and here God is trying to use him to take the gospel to the Gentiles. So God is going to have to break down these prejudices in his spirit. What's he going to do? He tells Peter, you have got to change. You've got to quit being an excluder and become my includer. It's a hard target to hit. So God uses the vision of all of these animals. It's a parable to get through to his heart. Well, let me ask you this. Do you have a problem with prejudice? Do you tend to be prejudiced or prejudging of the other people that you meet? I think we're all wired that way to some degree. I certainly have had a problem in that area. Quick story. When I was growing up in Central Texas, my family was a very prejudiced family. They were a victim of their ignorance, and my ignorance within my heart grew prejudice, and it was particularly directed at Hispanics. Where I went to school in Georgetown, Texas, there were a lot of Hispanic children. And this is a sad but true story. We would have these terrible clashes between the Anglo kids and the Hispanic kids because adjacent to the elementary school, there was literally a railroad track, and it separated our school grounds from Little San Jose, and that was an area that was almost 100% Hispanic. Can you imagine this? Even as a third grader, a fourth grader, we would clash with each other, the Anglo kids and the Hispanic kids, and we would tell each other horrible things and call each other bad names. And then sometimes when school was out, we would gather at the railroad track where they had a lot of rocks in the roadbed. And I'm ashamed to say this, but we would have, remember the Alamo rock fights, and we would hurl those stone missiles at the other boys and just cuss them, and it was sad. You see, prejudice is wired into the human heart because we want to stand on the back of somebody else so that we feel superior to them. And my friend, that may be an issue for you, but let me tell you what happened to me. As a teenager, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and He began this process of transforming me. That's what Jesus does. I wasn't a cultural Christian. I wasn't somebody who just added Jesus to being an American. I was authentically converted. I began to transform. I read His Word. His Word became a carving knife and started carving out all of those weeds in my life and the things that didn't look like Jesus. And as He carved on me, one of the things God had to deal with in my heart was prejudice. And I'll tell you what happened. I read in 1 John chapter 4 this great truth. Beloved, let us love one another because love is of God, and he who loves is born of God and knows God. But if you don't love, you don't know God. And then take it on down to verse 18. 1 John 4, verse 18. It'll change your life. It changed me. Because the scripture declared, how can you say that you love God whom you have not seen and then hate your brother that you see every day? This cannot be so. You see, to be prejudiced essentially would be living a lie. And it would be disobedient to the Lord who called us to be like Him and to be inclusive. Well, let's move on from Peter's obstruction to Cornelius's conversion. Cornelius's conversion. We find it here in the rest of the story. Cornelius, he was a God seeker, we learn in the first part of the chapter. And as he was seeking God, the Lord responded. And God said, Cornelius, I want you to gather a group of your friends and family members into your home and then send some envoys to go to Simon the tanner's house, and you will find a man there named Peter, and he will come and bring the message of God to you. God was going to kill two birds in one stone. He was going to release Peter from his prison of prejudice, and he was going to release the Holy Spirit to the Gentile world. This would be the Gentile Pentecost. You see, Cornelius was a very special guy. Cornelius was a Roman soldier. He was a person of wealth and privilege and prestige, but he was hungry for the God who made him. And he obeyed the Lord. And look at the result. Indeed, as we read, Peter came. Look on your worksheet. And the scripture says in Acts 10, verse 44, and while Peter was still speaking these words, probably similar to the sermon he had in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. And then if you go to verse 48, we learn that after they received the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they were baptized just like in Acts chapter 2. This, my friend, is called the Gentile Pentecost. Here's what happens. The Holy Spirit invaded that moment, and there was an awakening, an eruption, the Gentile Pentecost, and the gospel is now going to move out from the Jewish family into the mainstream of humanity. This is the origin of our church today. Now, I want you to understand something. God's goal is so simple. He wants to remove the obstructions so that people can experience conversions. That's how it works. This is the key to revival, that the walls may fall and the gospel will go to all races, all places. Well, let's come on down to the heart of it, and that is your application. One more note, your application. Now, here's the scriptural truth. The scriptural truth tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, that here is what God wants. If any man is in Christ, he is now a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And all of this is from God, who reconciles us to himself through Christ. And then what does he do next? He gives us the ministry of reconciliation. As a matter of fact, I would call that bridge building. My goal, your goal, the goal of God is for us to be connected to other people, build bridges so that Christ in us can walk across that bridge of relationship into a person's heart. Now, here's the goal. We ought to be includers. And frankly, this church should be a place of complete inclusion. It's described in the book of James. James gives the church a warning. He says, you should not treat people in a prejudiced or a preferential manner. Whoever walks in the door of your church, you should treat them the same. Why? Because the ground is level at the foot of the cross. If somebody comes in and they're dressed in shabby, dirty clothes, they should be treated no different than someone who's in designer gear and they've got gold hanging off of them. It makes no difference. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. That is a 2,000-year-old message, and that is the message that God would have us hear. We should be a place of inclusion. That means that we've got to foster that culture. We don't differentiate between young people and old people, well-educated people, and those who don't have as much education. This church should not be known as a highbrow church or a lowbrow church or a no-brow church or a unibrow church. We ought to just be connected as one. That's the goal of God. It's the goal of inclusion where everybody is pulled in. And you know what? You know what I believe with my whole heart? I believe this church is actively doing that. Let me give you the scripture that was read earlier. It's from Revelation chapter 7. Here's the end game, friend. Here is the goal of God. Don't ever lose focus on Revelation chapter 7. John says, I looked and behold a great multitude in heaven, which no one could count, from every nation, all tribes, all people, all tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches in their hands, praising God for eternity. Do you know what heaven looks like? It looks like a rainbow. It's a variegation of people from all lands, languages, tribes, and nations. And if heaven looks like that, shouldn't God's church look like that? Of course. And that requires inclusion, a spirit where everybody is welcome. Well, let me give you two practical points on how to be God's bridge builder. Number one, please make this note about how to be a bridge builder and create an attitude of inclusion with everybody you meet. Let's begin with building the bridge with cords of kindness. Cords of kindness. Again, we follow Jesus Christ. We do not follow our culture. And we should treat every person we meet with the dignity that they deserve because they are created in the image of God. And you've never met a person that Jesus didn't die for and God doesn't love. Amen? You bet. Let me give you a quick example. Several years ago, I was the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Alexandria, Virginia. And we had one member who was kind of famous. His name was Willard Scott. Do you remember the name Willard Scott? Willard Scott, for 20 years, was the weatherman on the Today Show. But did you realize before he became the weatherman on the Today Show, starting in 1963, he developed the character of Ronald McDonald? Now, Willard Scott from 1963 to 1967 was Ronald McDonald. Supposedly, he got a little too heavy, and they thought he was a bad ad for the Golden Arches. But anyway, that's another story. So here is Willard Scott. Remember First Baptist Church of Alexandria? Grew up right down the street, and he was an interesting guy. And I had him come speak one day at our church, and I got to spend some time with him. And oh, man, he told this amazing story. He said the year was 1965, and McDonald's was opening a new restaurant near the Mall of Washington, D.C., and he was scheduled to play the part of Ronald McDonald. Well, you may remember in American history, 1965 was not our best year, okay? Man, the civil rights issues were boiling over. There was division in America. And in 1965, Willard Scott said he had come to this opening of the McDonald's, and he saw this one large African-American guy who looked really angry. But he had a little boy there, a little boy that was maybe 5, 6 years old. And Willard Scott, I mean, talking about a loving Christian guy, he just comes up to this large man and his little boy, and he happens to notice that the little boy's shoe is untied. So he says, hey, and he hugs the little kid, and he reaches down, and he quickly ties the boy's shoes. And he gives him a hug. He gives the other guy a hug, and he hands out some McDonald's coupons for free food. Didn't think anything more of it until a month had passed, and he got in his mailbox this fascinating letter that he pulled out and he read. He said the letter told him, Willard Scott, Ronald McDonald, that the man that he had hugged that day at the McDonald's was one of the leaders of the Black Panthers. And this man revealed that he had spent his lifetime hating other people who were not like him. But he said, when you came up to us and you bent down and you tied my little boy's shoe, something inside of me was untied. And he went on to thank him for that simple act of kindness that helped set him free. Oh, my friend, you don't have to do something monumental, give a quart of blood, climb Mount Everest, but in the day-to-day activities of life, if you treat people with kindness and respect, when you give them a smile, you hold open the door, you care about people, you learn their names, you look them in the eye. It doesn't have to be monumental, but you can build a bridge with a little cable or a cord of kindness. And then add to that the beams of partnership. Cables and cords of kindness and beams of partnership. What motivated this message is having Dr. Tony Evans in Montgomery last week. I have great admiration for Tony Evans. He's a great man of God. I admire him. And he spoke about how to have churches in the body of Christ connecting. And here was his great summary statement. He said, if we want to get rid of prejudice in the body of Christ, it will not happen because we go to more seminars. It will happen when we serve together. I like that. You see, we're all educated beyond our obedience. We know more than we do. And the call of God is for us to roll up our sleeves, put on our towel, and serve together. That's one of the very special features of this church. One of the reasons I love this church, and I've stayed at this church now for over 20 years, is because we've not left our post in the middle of the heart of this city. You see, if you study churches across America, there has been this flight of the churches from the center of the city. I've even had fellow pastors say to me, oh my goodness, it must be a terrible deficit to be located in the downtown part of your city. I said, oh, not, it's not a deficit, it's our greatest asset. It's not a liability. It is our most wonderful feature because our church is a living laboratory for the love of Christ in the center of our city. I mean, through a caring center like it's across the street. You know, last year, we helped in excess of 20,000 people, if you network them all together. And we partnered. And we built bridges. And we extended the love of Christ in tangible ways. Did you know we have hundreds of people every week come to this church who are not like us through a program called Conversational English? We have people coming from over 40 countries every week, about 300 people that come here, and they come to this place and they receive the love of Christ because we are includers and we're bridge builders. And that's what God has called us to do. Here's the summary. Here's the bottom line. You see, God has called us to be bridge builders, to live out what it says in Romans chapter 15, verse 7, we should accept one another as Christ has accepted us. And when that happens, a great revival will be released over the unity of the body of Christ. And we will see the kingdom built, heaven expanded, and we will travel together to the destination of inclusion. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I thank you that 2,000 years ago, you made an appointment with Peter and with Cornelius so that your purposes could be achieved. And even this day, Father, you made an appointment with us so that your purposes could be achieved, so prejudice could be pulverized and your spirit
could be released so that a great revival can occur. Lord, I pray that in these moments that your Spirit would move among us and that we would hear your word and respond accordingly. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.